Friends, I hope this message finds you well, although I know that it finds you in a very anxious time, and we are very confused and anxious about the images that we are seeing coming from many parts of the country. And we are seeing rampant looting and destruction and violence, and it's difficult to remain positive, and our hearts just go in all sorts of horrible directions. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to process those emotions through a biblical lens in community. And this is one small contribution that may or may not be meaningful. So friends, the first thing that I want to say, and I'm just going to break down this little devotional in five or so points. The first point that I want to make is this, that we should be careful. We should resist the temptation to wrap ourselves in victimhood too quickly. What I mean by that is, if you are listening to this, then you are probably middle class, and chances are that you are white. And if you do not fall in that category, you're still more than welcome to listen to this. But the people who are really suffering at the moment are poor people and people in the townships. The people who are scared, who are not sleeping at night, are my friends in Mamelodi and Soweto and many places in KZN. And we, as, dare I say it, suburbanites, are feeling, you know, very anxious, and understandably so. We must be careful not to wrap ourselves in victimhood, because we are not the primary victims of what's going on at the moment. It's a little bit like, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little bit like the guy with his nice house at Camps Bay in Cape Town who claims to be living in the gang capital of the world because of his proximity to Mitchell's Plain. It's somewhat insincere to claim that the gang violence in a place like Mitchell's Plain really affects anybody in Camps Bay. And again, I don't want to trivialize what's happening. I am working through the same emotions, but we must be careful not to be imagined sufferers, not to think that all of these mediated images that's coming our way is something that is really affecting us, because if we were honest, they are in isolated places and mostly in poor places. So that's one point that I want to make, and hopefully I haven't offended you too much by just mentioning that. But a second thing that I want to say is that a little bit of context is always helpful. So a couple of months ago, we saw riots and looting and destruction at a huge level happening in a country where the damages was in excess of 20 billion rand, and a lot of people were killed as well. And that country is called the United States of America, and it was in reaction to the death of George Floyd. And then a couple of months after the looting and the rioting, you had these weird bunch of people who went to Capitol Hill at Washington, D.C., and they stormed the Capitol. Many people died, and they effectively took over their parliamentary building. And this happened in what is supposedly the most sophisticated democracy in the world. And I only say that to put our event in context. And, you know, when I went on the news websites, the international news websites this morning, South Africa didn't really make the front page. You know, they were talking about protests in Cuba and a bomb in Iraq. Of course, there's a bomb in Iraq and a bomb in Afghanistan. Of course, there's a bomb in Afghanistan and journalists being killed or tortured or something in Eswatini, what we used to call Swaziland. So in the bigger scheme of things, these things happen and they are tragic and we can lament them, but it would be insincere to think that they are unique to South Africa. It is something that happens across the globe in various countries, developed countries and less developed countries. So that is a little bit of perspective that might help us process this. Third point that I want to make is this, that out of bad, out of the ashes, often good comes. And we know this as Christians. But we also know this from experience. A couple of months ago, what's currently our Free Zuma moment was the cynical protests and the standoff there between left and right wing, white and black. You had the Kumandu Corps and all sorts of right wing balikis standing against the EFF who were there in their masses. And it was in response to the death of Brendan Horner. So it was a farmer. They're very emotive for the Afrikaners there. And it was an absolute mess, and the racial tension in this country was just highlighted once again. And what happened when the right wing and the EFF went home and the cameras left? Well, the moderate guys in the middle started to take hands, black and white, people who didn't necessarily before this incident work together, and they started working together. And Cynical is looking amazing. They are fixing potholes. That municipality seems to be functioning at a much better level than it used to function. There are good relationships between black and white, and people are taking hands in that community. And for what it's worth, I know Kwela considers it as one of the towns of the year. They've got that competition, so hopefully it wins that competition. But a couple of months ago, nobody would have thought that it's even possible for a place like Senegal to be considered for something like that. But out of the ashes, the moderate people, and in this case, I'm proud to say a lot of Christians were taking hands and are taking hands in making that a better place. Now, this what's happening at the moment is happening at a macro level, and it's going to be very difficult to do what was done in Senegal. But again, that is the country in which we live, and it's definitely the gospel that we believe in, is that these kinds of things do happen, and we have evidence of that. And it's also our faith commitment that pushes us in that direction as well. Another point that I want to make is this, that we live in the most unequal country in the world, and that's just a fact. We have the highest Gini coefficient. In other words, the discrepancy between the rich and the poor is most evident in a place like South Africa. And where you have that, it is obvious that there will be a fertile ground, and it's just a small spark that will ignite a fire. It might be fees must fall, it might be some sort of racist incident, or it can be factional nationalism in the ANC. And a better question, and I think something that we should rather spend our time with, is not to ask what to do now when the fires are burning, but to ask ourselves, what do we do in between the fires? Because in a couple of months from now, there will be something else to be annoyed about. There will be something else to fight about. And what we should rather do is ask, how do we spend our time in between the fires? Because that's where we are able to address inequality. And we are, like I said, literally in the most unequal country in the world. And I think that's where we should, you know, push our energy. I saw many of my friends posting hashtags to some effect of "Ons al self," we will do it ourselves. And what they are asking for is that people join them to make a little small state within this country, because this country is now a so-called failed state. And to be honest, you can build your wall around your little enclave, and you can build schools and universities and try and go that route. But you are just delaying the inevitable, and that is that a poor mob will eventually just crush that. So if we want to be proactive in all of this, the best course of action, I think this is common sense, the best course of action is to work together to try and address inequality. To now go into this self-preservation mode and saying "Ons al self," and you know, we will take care of ourselves, the rest of the country is a mess, is one, I think, profoundly unbiblical and also unpractical. We need to have a better vision. And because it's going to take so long to address inequality, and I don't want to be overly naive about that, we need goodwill. And that is something that we don't have in this country. At the moment, this current conflict is still framed as factionalism and Ramaphosa, Zuma, Zulus, the rest. But we live in a country with a very painful past, and it's only a question of time, if it hasn't happened already, for this question and this issue to be framed in racial terms, black and white. And to address the inequality in this country, we need to create goodwill, and that is why reconciliation is super important. And I would like to urge us that we prioritize both those things, trying to, in creative social entrepreneurial ways, address inequality, and at the same time really be intentional about building relationships across the racial and class divide. So that's what we should do in between the fires. And it's important, friends, because in a couple of weeks from now, people will not be screaming. They will have forgotten about this, and we will just go on. You will watch a Netflix series over the weekend, or you would be focused on a braai or something like that. And that is fine. But we have all sorts of activities that we want to invite you to, and we've invited you before, that you could consider to prioritize. For example, the tutoring in Mamelodi is one way in which we try to do our little bit towards addressing the inequality in this country. It's a way of sharing your skills and sharing your time and giving back. And it's a small step, I think, in the right direction, whether it is partnering with our small-scale farmers, whether it is just playing a game of soccer in the township and building a friendship. And hopefully that friendship can blossom into something more exciting going forward. These are all ways in which we address inequality, but we need to do that in between the fires, in the so-called peacetime. That's when we have to be very active in doing these things. So the last bit that I want to end us off with is a piece of scripture that comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, and verse 4 and 9. And I think this is just a lovely psalm. It reads as follows. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. What I like about this psalm is that bit in the middle. It says, the righteous will not be shaken. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts will be steadfast, trusting in the Lord. We are, at the moment, our emotions are so dependent on whatever is coming through the media. And if it's a little bit of good news, then we're happy. And if it's bad news, then we are despondent. And if it's really bad news, we are Googling immigration and all sorts of nonsense like that. But a person that is rooted in the Lord is not as vulnerable to external forces. He or she is someone who is not that affected by bad news, but they are firmly in the Lord, because the Lord is always the same. He was the same yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. And it's such a wonderful anchor to have something like that in such a tumultuous political environment in which we find ourselves. And this passage definitely does not describe me at the moment, but I hope that it describes me someday, that I would be the kind of follower of Jesus that is firmly rooted in him and not so vulnerable and affected by what's happening around me. And friends, this is an opportunity for us to really be a non-anxious presence in a country that needs it. To be a non-anxious presence means that you do not get on the bandwagon of bad news and spread the anxiety through another post or just by your presence, but by absorbing that anxiety and by showing people, just in the way that you are, that you've got another root, you've got another anchor, you are of another world. And what frames this, the steadfastness, is a call to action. So this peace that we have is not a sentimental peace. It's not being in denial that we are not scared of bad news. It's not a fideism where we are just floating around and we have faith. No, it's rooted in this world, because look at what it says in verse 5. It says, the good will come to those who are generous and lend freely. And then again in verse 9, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. So this person who is very much rooted in the Lord, who is not scared of bad news, is somebody who is involved and realizes that everything that he has belongs to God, and he is giving his time and his resources back to those who are in need. This is such a wonderful vision for us, and I hope that we can meditate on this psalm as we try and map a way forward for ourselves as a community and as families and as individuals, trying to make sense of this tumultuous time. Let's be a non-anxious presence in a country that really needs it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we lament what is going on in our country at the moment. And we admit that a lot of us are struggling with immense anxiety as we are confronted with these images. I pray, Lord, that this will lead us to action, that we will not be paralyzed, but that we would look at different opportunities to address the problem, that the fires that are burning in our country will light a fire in our hearts to such an extent that we will work towards a sustainable and prosperous future in between the fires, Lord. And we know it is a long haul. We know it's going to take a long time. And that's why we pray, Lord, that you will give us endurance. We also pray, Lord, that as we address these issues, that we will do so in generosity and that we will be able to give freely. But also that whatever happens around us, that we would realize that we ultimately belong to you, Lord, and it's an inheritance and a future that cannot be shaken, that cannot be taken away, and that deep-rooted identity, Lord, will guide us through this tumultuous time and allow us to be a non-anxious presence. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.